This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer.
But it is a highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious podcast, proudly brought to you by the Bamboo app. Crypto Curious is your go-to source for all things cryptocurrency. Whether you're a seasoned pro or new to the world of crypto, we've got you covered. Each week, we'll break down the top news stories of the past 7 days, giving you information that you need to stay on top of the latest trends and development. Plus, we'll share some quick bites of news and insights that you won't want to miss. If you're new to crypto, we recommend starting out with our early episodes where we break down the basics and give you a solid foundation to understand the crypto world. Join us as we explore the ever-revolving world of crypto and educate ourselves along the way. Wow, some intro. On today's episode, we'll cover off the recent market downturn, FriendTech, which is getting all of the headlines, and Coinbase making a very shrewd investment. My name is Craig, and this week it's just Blake and I, as Trace is on holidays and needs a break from us too. The show should still be okay. She's written most of it because she's a dead set legend, but it won't be as good because Tracy isn't leading the show, but we'll have a crack at it. Blake, how are you?
Good, mate. Good. It looks like it's just the A team today. Trace is not here, but yeah, we got lots to cover anyway. Heaps of exciting stuff as always. Let's jump in.
Yeah, so first story we'll cover off is the market nosedive. I've been talking and joking with you guys for a few weeks now how the market's been boring. It's been the same price, feels like, for months. And then all of a sudden, the whole market dropped about 10%. Bitcoin dropped 9% on Thursday. Blake, why do you think this happened? We tend to see this in bull markets, so it's quite odd that we would see it now. What do you think, Blake?
Yeah, you know, crypto has been on a pretty good run over the last 6 months, you know, trending up since the market found its bottom. So it can't go up forever. It needs to take a breather for a period of time. And I think that's what we're seeing now. You know, a lot of technical guys are saying that we just need a breather. And this is kind of what happens around, you know, this time of the bear market. There's a pullback just to test the lows before moving into the year of the halving. You know, there's a lot of analysis out there looking at how this compares to previous bear markets, and you know, some people are drawing some pretty interesting correlations.
Yeah, one of the reports that no one can be sure that it's actually true or not is that the report that SpaceX had written down their $373 million Bitcoin acquisition in 2021. And it also comes as news that Tesla sold 75% of its Bitcoin holdings after a $1.5 billion investment. So this price drop, you know, that was getting all the headlines. But then I've also seen people on Twitter saying that it's not actually true and that it can't be verified. It could just be something that markets do sometimes, Blake.
Yeah, sometimes markets need to take a breather. It's run pretty hard this year. I think it's doubled in price since the bottom. So, you know, that's pretty good for a bear market. And yeah, I think your effort relaxes here for a little while. It gives us that strength to move on up later in the year, if not early next year. Next up, we're going to circle back on a story that we covered last week with regards to Fireblocks. And Fireblocks is the software provider that provides, you know, many businesses in this ecosystem with software to help self-custody their own private keys for their cryptocurrency. And we made a small mistake in the story last week where there was actually no vulnerability in the Fireblocks software. Rather, it was the Fireblocks research team who analyzed dozens of publicly available MPC protocols and other wallet providers. And they actually uncovered a vulnerability. And one of the, it's a Bitforge libraries or in some of the code that they found, and they were able to notify these other 15 digital wallet providers so that they could patch the vulnerability just in time. So great job from the Fireblocks team. And just a small correction there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's a really important distinction. And we just want to reach out and say thank you to the Fireblocks team. I know they're listeners of the show. And yeah, great job on their end. Moving on. Now, this next story, we've got a new crypto app being dubbed the next crypto super app. It's called Frentech. It's making all the headlines, and it's the talk of the Twitterverse or the Xverse now. They have just recently released a decentralized social media platform that's generated $1 million in fees in 24 hours from August 19th, outperforming established players like Uniswap and the Bitcoin network. Blake, have you heard about these guys?
Nah, not at all, mate. Have they just come out of the blue or what?
They just came out of the blue. They're a project that's in beta, and I actually just signed up last night to give the crypto curious community my due diligence. And this is how it works, Blake. And I actually think this has legs. So it's built on Coinbase's layer 2 called Base, which we've covered about on previous episodes. And how it works is that each person that signs up, you link in with your Twitter or your X profile, and your profile will have a share price. So my share price right now is like 0.007. It's like $1 in Ethereum.
No surprise there. Yeah.
No surprise. I'm a nobody, but guys, come talk to me on Frentech. So what happens is when people buy your share price, that means that my DMs are open. So Blake, you know, obviously you're a CEO. People aren't want to get advice from you. They might buy a dollar worth of Blake coin or whatever it is. And then they can talk to you, get advice from you. But the hype has really started in the last few weeks because an NBA player called Grayson Allen, his share price has surged to 0.2 Ethereum, which is about, you know, a fifth of the Ethereum price now, which is about $500. So people are really spending that and then DMing him. Kobe, who's a big crypto influencer, his share price is 2.5 ETH. I can't imagine why you would spend that much to talk to Kobe. He seems to reply to everyone. So they've actually got over 100,000 users already, Blake, and their total project revenue stands at $818,000 with over 650,000 transactions on the platform.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And I really like the idea of having to pay for, you know, even if it's a nominal amount, to send a message or to, you know, create a post, because it stops, you know, creates a barrier entry for spammers as well that are just putting out heaps of automated messages. I think it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, do you reckon this is going to stick around, Craig, into the next run, or it'd just be, you know, a bit of a hype for a few weeks and it'll die off?
I think this is interesting because it's obviously a good idea, but it really all depends on who's going to join the platform. Like if you think about, you probably have a few people that you'd pay to have access to. Like for me, it would be maybe Gary Vee or like someone that's an entrepreneur, maybe like a soccer player or something that you want to talk to.
Yeah. So if I pay the 2 ETH to say chat with Kobe, does that go to the platform or does that go to Kobe, or is there like a fee split between the two?
So the platform earns 5%.
Okay.
But I would assume that if Kobe's share price is going up, then he would be able to take some profits, but I'm not really sure how that would work.
Right. That makes sense. If the platform's taking 5%. Yeah.
Is there anyone that you would pay for access to?
Maybe Kesha.
You heard it here, folks. Blake would pay for access for Kesha. Wow. Okay, moving on. Just a quick one now locally. We've got SwiftX doing their yearly survey report from YouGov, and they reckon that 900,000 Australians plan to buy their first crypto asset in the coming year. They say that 23% of all Australians have already bought digital assets, and this percent is up from 21%. But the bull run isn't a sure thing, as crypto is still languishing in a bear market. Blake, what do you think about these reports? Are you seeing the same sentiment in your day-to-day?
Yeah, you know, I think I agree with the sentiment. They've suggested that about 900,000 Australians plan to buy crypto in the next year. Now, you know, it's really hard to measure the intent, the level of intent of these people. You know, some people might be have a lot of conviction, say, hey, yeah, in the next year I'm going to buy some crypto, but whether they do or not is a different thing. But I would also suggest that there's a lot of people that potentially would say, hey, I'm not going to buy crypto in the next 12 months, but then do end up buying crypto because of, you know, potential market activity. So, you know, either way, I think that this is healthy growth for the industry. It does seem a little bit low to me, just because, you know, the amount of people in Australia that actively invest, who hold equities, you know, and the growth rate of the sector, I would suggest it, you know, it could potentially be more people, but, you know, we'll wait and see and how these numbers play out.
Yes, we will. And you can't account for FOMO in these surveys.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, guys, our last story before we get stuck into the movers and shakers is an interesting one. Coinbase, which is a large exchange in the US listed on the NASDAQ, they have acquired a stake in Circle, which is the second largest stablecoin. They say Circle will bring issuance and governance of the USDC fully in-house. And that means that the USDC token will also get 6 more blockchains that will support it, which is pegged at $1, as we know. Coinbase and Circle, in a blog post, didn't disclose how big of a stake Coinbase got. They didn't give a cash figure, but we can assume that it is substantial. Blake, why would Coinbase acquire a stake in a stablecoin? This is a really interesting play.
Yeah, you know, I've seen the CTO of Circle speak at a conference one time, and I thought it was really interesting what he was saying, what the future looks like for digital assets. And he was suggesting that, you know, currency is not going to be something static like it is today with, you know, it's digitally transferred for commerce, but rather he suggested that currency in the future will act more as a platform or almost like an app store where businesses and people and organizations can build products and services on top of these blockchains for their own purposes. And I think this is really interesting innovation. And I certainly agree that, you know, this is the direction that the technology is going. And, you know, Circle is a very well-regarded US-based company who have done an incredible job scaling their business. And I think they're going to be around for decades to come. So it makes sense that Coinbase wants to work with them. I believe that USDC is one of the main trading pairs on the Coinbase exchange. And, you know, they're obviously putting a lot of volume through it. They want to share in the fee base that, you know, has been collected by Circle, as well as potentially even support the innovation. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense that these guys work together. And, you know, we may even see them work together on regulation as well, if there's enough overlap between some of the issues.
Exactly right. And another point that the commentators are making is this news has come 2 weeks after PayPal announced their own stablecoin. So this could be a bit of a competition play, but the senior director of product management at Coinbase, he says that the future of USDC stretches far beyond crypto trading into areas like foreign exchange, transfers of funds across borders, and financial inclusion. So Coinbase, they're looking busy. They've got Base, Layer 2. They've just got a stake in the stablecoin. It's going to be really interesting to see where Coinbase is in 12 months and where they are compared to PayPal, which is, as you mentioned, another stablecoin coming to that platform. So huge play.
Yeah, now fascinating to see. And no doubt it's going to spur more innovation. And I think that we will see the size of their investment because Coinbase is a publicly traded company and they'll have to disclose in their financials, you know, what their investment looked like you know, at the end of their financial year.
It's time for the movers and shakers of the week. Everyone loves a crypto pump. And each week or two, we will feature a cryptocurrency token or project that is grabbing attention and popularity in the market. And we want to share the reasons why we think it's on the rise and what utility and value it holds. So, Blake, what's been moving and shaking this week?
Yeah, we have Rune. So Rune is up, I think it's up 80%. And it's the native token to the Thor blockchain, which is a multi-purpose blockchain. I'm really focused on helping, you know, interoperability, or really to help connection between all the other blockchains. You know, some of the key guys were based here in Australia, which is really interesting. And Craig, do you know why the tokens are doing so well this week?
Yeah, Blake, as you mentioned, ThorChain, it's up 80% over the fortnight, and it's pretty much the only green thing in the market right now. So ThorChain, as Blake mentioned, is a layer one protocol. We think that the pump is due to their new product called streaming swaps. Now, a big issue in DeFi is if a large investor, say a fund or a DAO or a family office, they want to make a large sell or buy, there is issues with liquidity in DeFi where you can cause a slippage up to 15% if you're trying to trade an altcoin. Now, this project facilitated its largest ever swap of 3,100 ETH for $2.4 million of room, which is around $3.65 million, and it hardly got any slippage. And the reason was because of this new product called streaming swaps.
It's pretty cool.
So they break up these cross-chain trades into smaller parts over 24 hours, and then as the trade progresses, people step in, rebalance the pool, so less value is lost to slippage. So the whole point of this is that DeFi native guys can now use Rune / ThorChain to essentially exit or enter positions at a large quantities.
Yeah, this is really cool because some people have been rugged using these cross-chain bridges that, you know, have been notoriously a focus for hackers to find exploits. So if they could do it using a project like this, I think that removes a lot of risk from the market and will create a lot of efficiencies as well.
Exactly. And as you heard in my explanation, super techie. So we think that the market is only full of DeFi natives that are pumping Rune. I don't think retail is sort of involved in this. So interesting to see how that will play out, and hopefully it keeps going in the bear. It's good to see some things going well. Before the short, sharp news bites, we have a new segment we want to share with you called The Tech Duo, where our friends of the show, Brian and Alex, who are crypto technical enthusiasts, will help us unpack some of these technical stories that we struggle to explain in layman's terms. So we really hope that there is value in this segment. So check it out.
We have two very special guests we'd like to introduce you today. Guests that we've internally dubbed the Deep Tech Duo. And we really like that name, so we're going to roll with it a little bit, guys. But please welcome Brian and Alex, a father-son duo. And they've both been in the crypto space for some time now, deep in the technology side of the landscape that often goes, well, to be honest, quite above the head of folks like Blake and Craig and myself. So exactly how long have you been in the space, guys? And was there an interesting story that got you into crypto and the blockchain?
Boy, since 2011, 2012, yes, what got us into this? Gosh, my background is engineering and business, but I did a lot of software engineering and management consulting, like airlines, financial institutions and government and that kind of thing. And also some startups around machine learning, AI and IoT. And my involvement in the financial industry space gave me experience with, you know, financial instruments, commodities, precious metals, energy and so forth. But I smelt a fish with the traditional financial systems, like all the money printing and the problems with the Cantillon effect, monopolization of the money supply, rigged interest rates that cause misallocation of capital, and all of the distortion that creates the business cycle and impact to prosperity. And some of my cohort in 2011, 2012 said, Brian, you need to look at Bitcoin. It solves all the problems. It's decentralized, it's censorship resistant, it's non-monopolistic. And so that pricked my ears up. And so we started diving into that. And I loved it because of both the tech aspect and also the philosophical aspect. Both of that resonated deeply with me. So I got involved with the Sydney Bitcoin meetups in 2012 with the startup of those, and then progressively became involved in various crypto projects such as merchant point-of-sale systems, trading robots, peer-to-peer trading platforms, on-chain voting systems, crypto micro-savings app, Blake, that you might be aware of, and consulting to family offices and institutional investors, and worked with the Australian Digital Currency Association, which was a predecessor to the Blockchain Australia Group, to lobby government for legislation and policy change relating to crypto. So I was involved quite broadly in everything crypto, and a couple of years ago took on the CTO role for Fringe Finance, and that is a non-custodial crypto money market lending platform, leverage trading and staking platform. So, you know, it's been quite a journey there, but it's really deeply diving into the crypto economics and the engineering to improve lending platforms. And we're applying a lot of innovation to that to make it, you know, capital efficient, minimizing costs for borrowers, ensuring platform stability, given there have been a number of dumpster fires in the DeFi and crypto space over the years, and to improve the user experience. So that is something that we're really chewing on deeply, and that gets us very deeply grounded in a lot of the technology and the, you know, the nuts and bolts of the way things work there. So we've got a real interest in that. And we've got new projects working on decentralized law. So it's definitely something that we're quite passionate about, everything decentralized.
It sounds like you've drunk the same Kool-Aid as us over here at Bamboo, Brian, but a little bit deeper, certainly on the tech side. And I think there's a lot more to unpack there. So, Alex, I know that you're participating in the space for some time. It'd be great to hear about your experience. Obviously, you first learned about it from your dad, Brian. But yeah, just maybe touch on, you know, how you've come into the space, how you've been participating, and yeah, we'll take things from there.
So I guess I first heard of crypto and like Bitcoin at the time when I was in primary school, so quite a while ago. I think I just found it kind of elegant and interesting, and I already had some libertarian values and philosophical ideals back then, so it kind of aligned with that. And ever since then, I guess, I've just kind of been learning more about it, learning more about various like protocols and cryptography and things that are kind of tangential to it. And then over the last few years, especially since 2017, I've kind of been working on a few projects increasingly so, especially after finishing high school. And the last few years, I've been working on some particularly interesting projects in the decentralized finance space, which is kind of an offshoot of crypto, a new area in crypto. And I find like the intersection of economics, finance, game theory, philosophy, all of these areas like super interesting because they've been my interests for many years now. So I just think it's an excellent alignment of those areas.
That's really cool. And so are you a developer, Alex? Do you code or are you mainly on the business side?
I do a bit of programming. I wouldn't really consider myself a developer, but I write a bit of Python. I like read Slides kind of on a day-to-day basis. I guess I probably more work in the kind of conceptual realm. Yeah.
Well, as Tracy mentioned, you know, we're very much on the B2C side of crypto. We have a consumer application that we work within here at Bamboo. And it's hard for us to explore the deep underwaters of what's happening in crypto.
Yep. Well, we love everything that you're doing, and it's a real honor to be able to dive into some of the technicalities or some of the matters that underlie the headlines and to talk about those, because we love this stuff and we can't keep away from it.
So what we plan on doing, ladies and gentlemen, is having a deep tech corner with Brian and Alex each week or every second week, where we can unpack some of the deeper layers of what are happening, like Brian said, under the headlines. So, you know, to give ourselves a better understanding of what's happening and also everyone that's listening.
Exactly. And like you've just said, Brian, you've come into the space back in 2011. And as we say, crypto is a little bit like dog years. I think that gives you about 60 years worth of experience there when it comes to the technology side of things. And we certainly don't have all that. So we look forward to being able to ask you all those intricate questions, because sometimes Blake, Craig and I are left, you know, scratching our heads, and we really do want to be able to dig a bit deeper and understand these things. And we look forward to being able to ask you both those questions from the deep tech duo that'll have their finger on the tech pulse and maybe letting us in some alpha when it comes to the tech side of things.
Time for a break. When we come back, our short, sharp news bites.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Crypto Curious Podcast. We're only 34 weeks or 238 days away from the Bitcoin halving. So if you or anyone you know wants to enter the crypto market responsibly, you can do so with the Bamboo app. Dollar cost average into the big boys like Bitcoin and ETH, and we'll give you $10 ETH when you sign up with the code CURIOUS. Make sure you jump on that. Now, on to the news, Blake.
All right. First up, we have a story about BitGo. So BitGo is a custody provider, and this is quite different to Fireblocks, where BitGo actually store the private keys for businesses, organizations, projects, and individuals. And they have done a capital raising round where they have raised over about $100 million at a 1.75 billion USD evaluation. So these guys are massive. Banks and some of the biggest financial institutions use them. And these guys are going to continue to, you know, gain market share, to build out their product offering and be dominant players in that space. So yeah, no surprise that they're raising at these sorts of valuations.
The big vows are back.
That's it.
Next up, the US might be taking their time with the ETF approval, but Europe is going ahead. Europe's inaugural Bitcoin exchange-traded fund went live on the 16th of August on Euronext Amsterdam. They have beat the US to launching this, Blake.
So next up, we have another story about Coinbase, and they've obtained regulatory approval to offer crypto futures tradings. This is a big step forward for them. Of course, when you know, the other platforms like FTX, who famously provided futures trading, as well as Binance, have left the US market, Coinbase and others want to kind of try and fill that gap. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense that these guys are moving into that space, and it's a pretty big win for Coinbase. And it also discounts the SEC's claims that Coinbase isn't willing to register property for different products that they're offering. So great job over at Coinbase.
Does that mean they'll have leverage?
Potentially. Don't know.
Wow, that is cool. Here's a cool one for the gaming fans. Take-Two, the team that bought you Grand Theft Auto, which they've been creating for feels like 100 years, they're launching a crypto game on Ethereum. Their software subsidiary called Zynga is venturing into Web3 gaming with its new Ethereum-based game, Sugar Town. The company behind hits like Grand Theft Auto builds this as the first crypto game built from scratch by a major mobile game developer. As you know, these things will take years to unpack, but the combination of both a huge name getting in the space and the appropriate use of crypto mechanics will make this game one to watch.
Sweet. And next up, we have a story about MetaMask. So MetaMask is a, you know, in-app browser that many people use to access DeFi. And they've done a deal with, you know, an Australian-founded company called Banxa that are now listed on the Canadian Stock Exchange to do one-click buys with Apple Pay straight into crypto. And these are the innovations that we're going to continue to see in this sector. You're really removing the barriers to access cryptocurrency, as well as improving the user experience. And one-click buys is an incredible. You can't get quicker than that, I don't think, Craig.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, you know, of course you have to KYC for this. It's a compliant product. So, yeah, really interesting innovation. And, yeah, we'll see more of this.
Cool. And to wrap things up, Binance, they're sick of being bullied and they've called in reinforcements. They've filed for a protective order against the SEC. They're saying that the SEC is requesting too much information. They're overly demanding. Binance want to limit the regulator to 4 employee depositions. So, yeah, the war continues with Binance and the SEC, Blake.
Certainly not happy with them, but, yeah, only time will tell. And I think Binance has a lot of resources to fight this, but, you know, obviously it's tiresome and a bit of a distraction for them from their core business. So, yeah. All right, let's finish up there. Craig, great episode. I certainly learned something and can't wait to jump on the new social media platform and give it a whirl.
Yeah, Blake, that's it. Please follow us on social media via the Crypto Curious Insta page or join the Facebook group. There's around 600 people in there all talking shop about crypto. So if you're not in there, you're missing out. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, please email us at podcast@getbamboo.io and we'll cover whatever you want to know. So cheers, guys.
Bye for now.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.